It is Thursday. We are close to Major League Baseball. We are close to the return of the NBA, guys. And for the first time, you can actually feel it. Like, even everybody that was very skeptical is even saying, okay, we're going to get this stuff going. We've gotten to that point where it feels like it's almost inevitable that we're going to get real play real soon.
It is, because they've been in there over a week now, right? And team players have been trickling in. Different things have been coming. But there's been no negative, real negative things coming out of the bubble. There's been no, oh, well, we tested him, but he was negative. But 5 days later, he was positive. So, therefore, we got to put him back. And it's been none of that. So, you feel good about where basketball is going to be. Like literally. Because you know they're not letting somebody in at this stage that wasn't in before. They're not just letting people just come in, you know. And so you feel good about the way that they're controlling it and how they're getting everything situated under the bubble so they can have a smooth season inside the bubble. Nobody's leaving. Nobody's coming. And you already know that anybody that came within the last couple of days are quarantining. So we're going to get basketball. It's just a fingertip away.
Not only are we going to get basketball, not only are we going to get it, here's some really good news. That what you're talking about, Key, with the bubble. MLS is operating under a very similar situation that the NBA is. And we know that two teams from MLS basically said, you know what, we have too many positive infections, we're going to tap the mat, and we're not going to play. Dallas was out, and Nashville was out. Since those two teams have been removed, zero positive tests inside the MLS bubble. Zero. I mean, they have not had any positive tests. They had one, but it was one from the teams that have already been removed. So it works. So if guys follow the rules, and I know we've had that conversation a lot, but if guys are following the rules, it's going to work because it's working in the MLS. And if you have zero infections, the odds are, if you're following the instructions, you're going to have zero infections, which brings us back to the NBA. Let's assume that it works the same way and that this thing works and we don't have any infections. According to Vegas, the Lakers and the Clippers have an 81% chance of meeting each other in the Western Conference Finals. 81. Four out of five times, these are the two teams we're going to get. Key, you're an LA guy. I'm an LA guy. LZ, you've been here a long time. This is something that we've never seen before. The Clippers and the Lakers competing for something that matters for the first time ever. And it's going to be taking place in Orlando in front of no fans. Are we getting cheated here a little bit? I know it's nobody's fault. But doesn't it feel like this is the thing we've been waiting for a really long time, and now it's going to happen on the other side of the country with absolutely no fans?
Well, what I would say is it does feel cheated some. And so when will that take place? When will that take place?
Like 2.5-3 months from now?
So we'll be in – let me see. It'll be in August?
It'll be in September.
So yeah. The spike in Los Angeles – if they play each other, the coronavirus spike might jump for the next, you know, for a couple days, because people are going to have gatherings watching the damn games. They're going to have major gatherings and parties watching the game. So we are getting cheated because it's in Orlando, it's two L.A. teams, and we can't even attend. We got to sit up and watch John Ireland and Mike call the games from a studio or whoever's calling the games.
Well, we're being cheated, but also the teams are being cheated.
Yeah.
You know, that's and I feel bad for those guys because they've worked really hard, especially if you're a team like the Lakers and Clippers, the Bucks, that you fought all hard to get home court advantage, and now there is no home court advantage. And a big part of the motivation of why you grind throughout the regular season gets taken from you. Plus, I mean, think about this though, man. If the Clippers were to win the NBA championship, and if they were to be able to do it at Staples, that would be such a tremendous feeling for that franchise, for Mr. Ballmer, who bought a team that was in duress and was able to help navigate it to a championship. You wanted to be home in order to receive the love from your fans when that great moment happened. Same thing, obviously, with the Lakers. If you're a fan of like the Bucks, to be home when you capture it and have the fans and the confetti and everything fall down and you pointing in the stands and the cheering of your
and
name.
And people in the streets.
Exactly. Like all of that is like, it's just gone. It's going to be, you know, there'll be confetti and, you know, there'll be a DJ, and Dwight obviously loves DJs in the bubble, so he'll be
everything
there.
Will be virtual.
but
virtual parade.
But we have to have Zoom parades and stuff, and that'll be disappointing. We're going to still hang the banner, and we're still going to, you know, give props for the chip, but none of us are going to have the stories about what we did when they won.
That's exactly right. The championship will be 100% legitimate. Anybody that's going to try, I know Charles Barkley was making this point that it's actually worth a chip and a half is what he said. That I don't know if I'd go that far, but this is such a unique situation and challenging for all the reasons that we talked about. So the championship itself could not be any more legitimate. That being said, this rivalry that we've been waiting for, it's almost like, yeah, it started, but did it really start if nobody could be invested and you can't talk trash with your buddies and you can't go to a bar or you can't go to a friend's house and experience these games, or if you're lucky enough to get to go to one of these games? That we've been waiting for this for such a long time, and then it's just it's almost video game simulation because it's in front of no people on the other side of the country. It just doesn't feel like that kickoff that we've been waiting decades for actually happened. In the next season, having these two teams run through each other in the Western Conference Finals, and yeah, it happened, but did it really happen if you weren't there to see it?
It will happen, and you still take it and run with it. It's hard as hell to win a championship in anything. You still figure out how to celebrate it. Celebrate it differently because it might feel different how you won a championship with stop of a season, start of a season, no fans, all of those sort of things. But at the end of the day, man, you still get the trophy. You still get the trophy. And it's even harder because of the circumstances.
Yeah, I mean, listen.
Yeah,
the trophy is the trophy, and that's nothing's going to take that away. You win a chip this year, everyone recognizes how hard it was. This isn't baseball, where you're cutting the season off by 100 games. And, you know, it's not, it isn't that way. It may have an asterisk to it. This is that the most of their season has been played. Championships will be won. Awards will be given because we have enough of the data for us to be able to make those sort of decisions. It's, to me, it's just all about the feeling. Like, part of my excitement.
And the fans.
Moving,
and
yeah,
the
I was,
fans.
I was just going to say
player,
part of my excitement was
thing.
Moving downtown. I was saying part of my reason for moving downtown was because I just wanted to be in that mix when the postseason started. Like that, like just to constantly be in that energy. This is what I wanted as a fan, not as a journalist, just as a fan. And now it's like I'm looking at a dark, empty building. And it's like, it's weird.
It's going to be less, and not from a player perspective, not from an organization perspective, but from a fan perspective, it absolutely is going to be a little less. That's assuming that we get there. The odds are good, but guys are ratting each other out, like you mentioned, LZ. Dwight, somebody dropped a dime on Dwight Howard for not wearing a mask inside of the bubble, and I can't tell you the last time I was this disappointed to find out that this is what guys were squealing about. Masks? This is not what I'm here for. I'm here for some scandalous, salacious, juicy, wonderful stuff about what they're not supposed to be doing. Not wearing a mask as you walk through the lobby is not what I'm here for.
Well, I told you they wasn't going to do anything to make that scandalous thing that you're looking for. The players just, in this situation as of now.
Not yet, at least.
Nothing is going to happen. I'm telling you. Now, look, if you're asking me, whoever called in, didn't really call in like that. They calling in messing around. They're reporting it like, ha, 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 ha. They'll make a joke about it later on as they either exit or win a championship and have a conversation later on down the line. You know players are going to call in and mess around. You just know they are because it's boring. It's goofy. It's something to do, something to clown about. That's what's going to happen.
When you look at Doc's quotes, they're absolutely hilarious. Doc Rivers is quoted from inside a bubble saying, "I turned in LeBron yesterday. I turned in Pop today. I'm turning to all the guys in. We're going to be the only team left when I'm done."
And then he jokes
and says, "No, I don't think it's a problem."
It's not. I'm telling you, y'all didn't want to believe me, and I understand why.
You can't be taking a victory lap 5 days into this thing.
How are you taking a victory lap when we already had two guys that burst the bubble
I'm not taking a victory lap. I'm not taking a victory lap. But what I'm saying, what you guys were looking for was some real, you know, rolling in a Louis Vuitton bag. You know, the bag on wheels. Y'all looking for the bag on wheels with the flip-flops with the fuzzy little toe things on the top.
Gotta have the fuzzies.
That's what y'all was looking for. Carries a toolbox. What's the difference?
It ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen.
With those little sweatsuits that say juicy.
Anything. Stop, boy. They do, though. LT, right? Remember Juicy Couture? The pink ones with the...
I'll say it again. A carpenter carries a toolbox, and a carpenter wears Dickies and overalls. Everybody's got their uniform. That's the other uniform.
But everybody does have a uniform. But what we were expecting, or y'all was expecting, was to be able to see them coming through them lobbies. And you know them lobbies is big. Them foyers and them lobbies are huge. So you was listening for them wheels coming across that marble floor, and it's not going to happen. I'm sitting here looking on television, and I'm seeing the backdrop as we report and everything's going on, and I'm seeing some of the stuff in the background. I mean, they gonna have some slim pickings. It ain't gonna be somebody coming from outside the bubble. I can promise you that. Because well, I'm looking why, at some of the stuff walking behind the scene.
This is why, King, we said that the pros, they already got them planting it already in there. You know, they're the receptionist that they got hired at the last minute. They're this person, the concierge, it's the concierge, Travis, who actually don't know anything about the property, but can say, have a nice day.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. I think instead of wearing the juicy sweatsuit, they're gonna be dressed like they're Matterhorn operators or something.
Exactly.
They're gonna come through in the Lederhosen, or you're the one working the Autopia line or something. Look, necessity is the mother of invention. They'll figure it out. They'll come in camouflaged or disguised or whatever it is. They'll get it. I'm not worried. They might not be as brazen to walk in with the bag, but they'll get it.
And don't forget the fuzzy house slippers, Travis. The bag and the fuzzy house slippers.
You gotta have the fuzzy house slippers on. I told my daughter, my daughter London had some on the other day. She was wearing the fuzzy slippers. I told her, you don't take them things off, girl. What's wrong with these?
That's the wrong message. You too young
to know
what you're saying.
I said, girl, what you doing? Come on. Some Gucci fuzzy slippers.
You don't want to leave those behind, Key. You don't need those in the repertoire. All right. A bunch of defensive players are getting paid. They're getting paid like quarterbacks. Is that the new trend? That's next on the morning show at 7:10 ESPN.
How do you think I got
you guys kept that conversation rolling?
One of them yesterday, LZ, was trying to act like he was cool, but the other dude wasn't. He was bringing it all out. So I was like, okay, he don't want me to know that he – okay, I get it. It's all good. I understand, you know.
Listen, it's a simple rule in the world, man. If you have tires, somebody's trying to kick it. Now, you may not know your tire is being kicked. You may not know where the leg is coming from, but trust anybody. If you got a tire, somebody in the world is trying to kick it.
Oh no, they was trying to kick the tire. I was having lunch by myself, so that's why I sent you the picture, because I was
fresh. Yeah, you
LZ, not only
that's some of the water right there.
With what you asked Travis earlier, not only has it happened, but how do you think I got those free sweets all the time? I just play along.
You play along. It's when they slide you their card and tell you to call them.
That's happened a lot more than I ever realized. I was really, really naive, I guess. I need to reevaluate exactly what it is I'm doing. I need to rethink what it is I'm bringing into hotels, because I got that card way more often than I just thought they were being nice.
They're not handing you the card, Travis. They're not handing it to you. They're sliding it across the marble counter.
Yes. They slide the card to you.
Hey, Travis, hands all moisturized and nice and soft.
If you need anything in your room, just call.
I take it all back. My previous Travis. Answer has been stricken from the record. I take it all back.
If you need anything in the room, just call.
That's stupid. And Travis is sitting there like, well, can't I just call zero and just get the operator to the front desk? You know what? Why do I need your direct line?
That's exactly. No, I'm good, man. I'll just hit zero if I need anything. I think I've said that 100 times. I didn't know what I was doing.
Speaking of needing things, there's a lot of defensive players that needed contracts, and there's a lot of players in general on the franchise tag, Travis.
I thought that the quarterbacks get all the money. I thought that because Jared Goff gets 110, Carson Wentz gets 100. We've seen all the quarterbacks get paid. Miles $100 million guaranteed. Chris Jones has got an $85 million deal over 4 years. When did these guys start getting paid like quarterbacks, and why are guys leapfrogging Aaron Donald, who's the best at his position?
Every year, a different position gets elevated with more money. You look at Christian McCaffrey, he's the highest paid running back in the National Football League, where Ezekiel Elliott was a couple years ago. And so things just keep leapfrogging. You look at Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry said, man, you know what? I'm not about to hold out for another $3 million. Give me that 12.5 and I'm good. I'm not tripping. Or you look at Myles Garrett's contract has been going on negotiations for over a year quietly behind the scenes. Aaron Donald was the obvious number that you want to surpass because Aaron Donald's deal was done a couple years ago. See, Aaron Donald will be back at the table in about 2 years, believe it or not. He'll be back at the negotiating table in the 2024 season, or 2023 season, my bad. He'll be back at the 2023 season, the start of that season, he'll be back at the table. So when you start to look at it, Chris Jones was next at the defensive tackle spot. He wound up getting what he was supposed to get. Myles Garrett looked at Khalil Mack's deal and said, well, I bring just as much heat around the edge as him. How come I can't get – they said, well, don't worry about it. We'll get you above Khalil Mack. And that's what they did. And that's what happens. The next guy in line. It's the next guy in line. My nephew, Michael Thomas, he wound up getting his money. Guess what Julio Jones said? Good. Bam, give me my money. I remember when I did my contract, Randy Moss was just sitting back there. Randy said, man, y'all gave him that? Oh, hell no. Wait till I get a chance at about the next 9 months to get mine. Then he leapfrogged him. And then Marvin Harrison said, wait a minute. Y'all gave Randy Moss that? Oh, hell no. And that's just how it go. It just
but here's the difference, though. Here's the difference, though. And I think, I am pretty damn sure that you're going to hear how the pandemic is going to impact contracts next season. They can't get away with it this season, but next season you're going to see them trying to adjust the market, and they're going to be using lost revenue from the pandemic as the reason why. So
Here's what I would say, Busta Rhymes, is they've already started that, right? They started that with the 30%. 35% in salary cap escrow. They
want to
put the money in the escrow account. They've already started that process, right? By saying we're going to be flat or below on the salary cap number, how it rises every year, it's going to either be where it's at or below. So they've already started that. You're absolutely right, LZ. They've already started that process to where it's going, but it's going to impact not only sports. It is going to impact society as a whole. I mean, think about it. They've already started. People have already started suffering from a housing standpoint. People can't pay their rent. People can't pay their mortgage. They can't pay their rent. They can't pay their gas bill, their phone bill. All sorts of stuff is this pandemic is going to affect. It ain't just sports. As you know, it's not at all. But it certainly gives the owners an excuse to tighten the screws on contracts, and it also hurt this year with negotiations to a degree because there's language that are now put in the contracts that wasn't put in the contracts before. If we have a stoppage, this is what's going to happen. We are not going to pay you if this happens. If we only get these amount of games in, this happens. So you got all of those sort of things going on, but at the end of the day, these dudes are still some rich people.
Yeah, absolutely. And the question is,
well, with that in mind, with the pandemic and it.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, Travis. Oh, well, listen, it all depends on how strong the union is in terms of digging its heels in and making sure they don't get bulldozed over by the fact that this pandemic does provide ownership with a very legitimate concern. You know, you can't have an ownership group that is going to just run over you to the point in which they start to squeeze the salaries down when the numbers don't actually pan out statistically what they're asking the players to sacrifice.
Well, what's going to happen is that's why you have a union, and that's why you have leaders within your union to make sure that the trickery that the owners come up with don't get passed, right? I mean, that's why. Major League Baseball tried to pull a game, the okey-doke, we got 162, but we only want to pay you for 50 games. They tried that okey-doke move, and it didn't work out. And I'm sure the NFL will try something very similar, but this is why you have smart people to protect you from a union standpoint to make sure that none of those sort of things happen along the way. Now, you know, there's ways of protecting yourself, and we all know that, and I'm sure that it will be talked about as the season continues to show progress that if next year we're in this situation based on the numbers and not having full stadiums of being able to sell concessions and ticket sales, we had to get money back to our ticket holders and things of that nature, that this would certainly carry over into the following season and maybe even into the season after that, depending on where the television revenue comes in at, because 2 years from now, they're going to be renegotiating the TV money.
If you're Dak Prescott, does this not make you really concerned because you didn't get something done, or is he immune to it because he's a quarterback?
Which part, Travis?
The part about them coming back to him, you know, next year or the year after. Let's say he's obviously going to play on the tag this year. Let's say they still don't get something done and he plays on the tag next year. And then the argument could be, look, we can't give you what we'd like to give you because the revenues are all out of whack because we don't have people in the stands.
Let me ask you this, though, Trav. If I tag you this year, next year, and it's $70 million in total, are you okay with that?
Of course. But if the question is $70 million or $150 million, I feel like I left a bunch of money on the table.
Yeah, but if I'm tagging you this year and next year, and your number's going to be 70, because we already projecting that our number's either going to be flat or slightly below where it is now from a salary cap standpoint, we plug you in, that number's going to kick out to around 70, $68 to $70 million. We know that part of it. And if we know that and you're okay with 2 years at $70 million, then when the TV revenue comes up in 2022 and you hit the market in 2022 and now all of a sudden your contract is $300 million, now you got now all of a sudden you got guaranteed money of $112 million or call it $110 million. You now hit $180 million of guaranteed money where you would only have gotten $100 million of guaranteed money from the Cowboys. So your bet is right versus wrong.
I get that, Key, and you're probably right, but probably is really scary, and it's never been more scary than right now.
Me and you ain't going to do that. Me and you not doing that.
Everything's up in the air, right? It's that thing, I got a deal done. I got this on the table. I wait until it's done. It's not done.
Let me tell you something. My longtime agent and attorney, Jerome Stanley, has always told me when he's negotiated contracts, and he said, Key, we've gotten all – the juice out of the lemon. And I'm like, well, no, we did. He says, okay, what if you walk down the street and you slip on a banana peel? Then what? Then what? So you get it's
I knew risk. I knew I liked Jerome. I knew I liked said, that because that's how I look at it too.
He says, what if you slip on a banana peel? I say, you know what, man?
It's not done.
Tell him it's done, man. We good. Let's just go on and get it done.
That's exactly right. All right, Pedro Gomez is going to join us next. We'll get you ready for the Dodgers and the Giants, which is coming up 1 week from today. Man, it feels good to say that. That's coming up next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. All right, as promised right now.
Off the air, but go ahead.
Yeah, this is not what we're bringing on the air. Right now, we're talking to Major League Baseball with friend of the show, Pedro Gomez. Pedro, good morning. How you been?
I am good. Good, boys. Just surviving the heat here.
Pedro, I have not been outside. I'm not even joking. I don't think I've been outside a total of 10 minutes in the last 36 hours.
Yeah, it's been a little oppressive. It's funny because when you do stand outside, you do it. When it's like 116, you definitely feel it. You absolutely feel it. But you know what?
You don't say.
It's LZNAZ. Come on.
Yeah, well, man, it's heat.
Pedro, man. we are one step closer to a couple things. We one step closer to Major League Baseball starting, and we one step closer to it ending. Which one do you think is most likely to happen first?
Well, the start, I think, will happen. The finish is the part that I still have doubts about. Because once you get going, we've seen players already, opt out number one and test positive and have to step away. And the whole, it's farcical how a club can't announce why someone is away. That to me is one of the bigger jokes here that's going on, because let's say it's a legitimate reason for being away and the club doesn't want to say, well, it leads to instant speculation. Oh, that player must have tested positive. And I think the majority of the times the player has tested positive, but it's just one of those things where you get 4, 5, 6 guys on the same club that potentially test positive. What's going to happen? They have to step away for 2 weeks. Let's say it's the core of the team. Then what? For 2 weeks, you're out there with less quality, and it just it looks like they're going to start. I've said it before. I think when I've been on with you guys, I think the finish line is going to be the difficult part.
But the HIPAA laws won't allow them, right?
You know what? The players' union. That's what the players' union should have just told the players. Look, there is absolutely no shame in testing positive. If you test positive, let's just announce it. And it would have just erased all of this, almost a joke of, well, no, that person's not in camp today. Why? Oh, I'm not allowed to say. that's a joke.
Yeah, it's silly. That's silly. No, of course not. I want to go back to something you said, the then what. Let's play this game. Let's say that the Dodgers, just to pick the local team, that all of a sudden Cody Bellinger, Mookie Betts, Clayton Kershaw, and, I don't know, Max Muncy all come down positive. And the question about then what, is the then what just muscle through it and figure it out and get to the end of the line? Or is there a drop dead of the number of players we need to have out?
Well, they haven't done this yet, so the plan, my understanding, the plan is you muscle through it. You bring up 4 guys, 5 guys, and they're going to take the spots for up to 2 weeks until those players quarantine and test positive for several days in a row. It's not going to be, they're going to miss 1 or 2 games. They're going to miss some time at that point. And the plan is to muscle through it. So you get 1, 2, 3 clubs that maybe face this type of issue, then what? They may just go to the league, look, we're not going to play, which is kind of what we've seen in the MLS. Pedro, I think it was Dallas that tested too many players, and they said, we're not going to play in this tournament. And then I want to say Toronto also did the same thing, and they said, we're not going to play in this tournament. They had 2 clubs drop out of this MLS tournament that's going on right now. But in baseball, it's not a tournament. You're playing games. Like the Dodgers would be playing the Oakland Athletics maybe for 3 games. And now what? Those 3 games aren't going to take place? There's just so much uncertainty here. I know why they're doing it. It's money. I understand that. Money rules the world. We've known that since the beginning of existence. But, God, it just seems like there's so many hoops to jump through that it almost makes it seem impossible that they're going to be able to get to the finish line.
Well, Pedro, one of the hoops they have to jump through, in my opinion, is the fact that the rules are just different from state to state to state. And that's true for a variety of reasons, whether it's one state has a better grip on it, or if one state has a governor just feels like everything should be open versus another one that says everything should be closed. Is Major League Baseball adapting their rules to fit every individual team? Or are they trying to do this as a one-size-fit-all? Because it feels as if, some states are going to be more open to having fans than others.
Yeah, and look, the commissioner's office addressed this a few weeks ago, and they said if a certain community shuts down and they do not have the ability to play their games at home, we will find a place for them. So let's say that L.A. County or you know, Dade County and Miami just completely shut down. Say, no, there's no gatherings of any sort here. Well, MLB has said we will find a place for those clubs to play. But, I mean, it means packing everything up, moving to a new place. Now, all of a sudden, you're surrounded with new faces in that area, new environment, and who knows what happens. That's why it's just, God, it just seems so, there's too many obstacles.
It'd be really weird if Dade County decides to move to somewhere and all of a sudden that place shuts down. Now you get into a moving around, shutting down situation. They don't want that.
No. But they did say if a certain community closes down, we will find a place for that club to play. They have said that.
Well, that is absolutely can't figure out why wouldn't they just do the bubble in Arizona?
Want to do the bubble in Arizona. Arizona is hot right now, man.
It ain't hot 24 hours. I mean, they could play evening games. You could play early.
No, not heat-wise. I'm talking about virus-wise.
Oh, well, yeah.
A lot of places are hot right now virus-wise.
You know what? And it's funny because the three places they initially thought could be the bubble that they would play three different areas were Florida, Texas, and Arizona. And you look at Florida, Texas, and Arizona right now, and it's like Keith said, they're hot.
And it's so funny because they volunteered. They wanted to be open so bad. They were the first ones to volunteer, too. Yeah, come play here. And now look at them.
Yep.
Exactly. Pedro Gomez joining us here.
Yeah.
Pedro, let's
finish line is going to be the difficult part.
Let's be optimistic here. Let's assume that we get started here in a week. What do you think it's going to look like? Is it going to look like spring training baseball? We're seeing starting pitchers pitch 3 and 4 innings, or are we going to see what we would expect to see in July in Major League Baseball?
No, it won't be like July, which is why there'll be more, you know, the pitching staffs will be larger. It'll be interesting because they'll have played really the majority of the games they're playing are inner squad games, and you just can't get amped up for an inner squad game. Look, of the four of us here talking, there's only one player who's played inner squad games. That's Yuki. You can't tell me that even an exhibition spring a preseason game is at least against another opponent. An inner squad game, which I'm sure you've played, Key, they're not the same. You can't get amped up the way you can when you're seeing a different uniform out there. And almost every club is only going to have two of these spring training type games where they're playing a different opponent before the season starts. And they're used to playing 30 games during spring training.
Well, you can do some motivating things with that though, right, Pedro? Because if I am Seager and I'm the Dodgers, if for some reason, some odd, weird reason, I just don't like Kenley Jansen, and when he comes up and I'm batting, I want to just rip him apart. I just got to get focused in because for some reason I'm mad at him and I just don't like him. I don't like him. And so you use certain things like that to motivate yourself. When we had scrimmages against one another, it's like, man, I ain't never really liked that DB anyway because 2 days ago he grabbed my shirt from behind and damn near ripped my hamstring. I can't wait to get a hold of him. And that will get your fires and juices going. It's almost like the Michael Jordan thing, the Kobe Bryant thing. You make stuff up in your mind.
Okay. I don't know if there's going to be 30 guys capable of doing the same thing, but I get what you're saying. I understand that.
Well, no, you might not get 30 guys doing it, but if you get one or two or three guys that do a certain – that raise their level – of their level at that point in time, it could trickle back down into the dugout where everybody catches fire and starts to just, you know, you can do it. Dave Roberts can make it fun and competitive to the point where maybe they make it competitive. Maybe they say this team
can
eat
they
hot dogs
it?
If they. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Maybe this team gets hot dogs for dinner and this team wins, they get lobster. You make it competitive. I mean, you just do.
Okay. They also don't have the time that they normally do.
No, they don't.
That's the other part.
That's the other aspect. Yeah. So I don't know that we're going to see necessarily crisp June baseball. You know, it could be less than crisp. But I don't think we're going to see pitchers going seven innings. No, I think three, four innings, maybe trying to get five to get wins and things like that. But it's going to be difficult, and I would not be surprised if hardly any starting pitchers during the first 2 weeks.
Which games are you going to be able to hit any?
I don't know yet. We're still finalizing our plans. And, you know, the issue also is that just because you're in the stadium doesn't mean you get to talk to anyone. So there's different obstacles that we have to go through to even get at these games. And so we're still finalizing. I mean, we're having difficulty getting on airplanes, our place. So who knows? Who knows what's going to happen?
Okay.
Well, Pedro, hopefully next week when we talk to you, we're talking about the beginning of the season, and we can talk a little actual baseball as opposed to virology and whether or not we're going to get this thing started at all. It's always good to talk to you. We'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Hey, at least they picked the right first game for us. I mean, yes. Gerrit Cole against Max Scherzer. That's as good as it gets.
That is very, very good for sure.
Yeah.
All right, Pedro, we'll talk to you next time. Thanks so much.
All right, boys. Take care.
All right. Take It or Shake It is coming up next. All right, Key, let's stick with baseball. I just had a conversation with Pedro Gomez. Major League Baseball should not hand out any individual awards this season. Take it or shake it.
Shake it.
Shake it.
Oh,
yeah, you want MVPs and Cy Youngs and the whole thing?
Yeah, you can still do it. It's 60 games. Do it in a shortened season. If somebody's good in 60 games, then great. I mean, why not?
How are you going to be MVP for 60 games?
You're MVP for 60 games. It's fine. You're the MVP for 60 games. You did your deal in 60 games. How can you be the MVP in seven games?
Huh?
Because it's a finite little series. But if you had a football season that was five games long and you're going to crown an MVP after that, it just feels like the individual. MVP, like the team stuff is cool.
He's
individual
MVP.
Stuff feels cheap.
He's MVP for five games. So what? I mean, it you know and I know it's only five games. So if we want to have that conversation. Oh, he's only MVP for five games. Had a conversation. You still give out the awards. Why not? Manager of the year, 60 games. That's fine.
Yeah. I understand
what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. So why even crown a champion then? I understand what you're saying, but at the same time,
if you're crowning a champion, if you're crowning a champion and you actually have an actual postseason that looks like a postseason, that's one thing. But to give someone an MVP for 60 games, you know how many dudes would have won MVP if you only took their best 60 games?
Guys that you've never even heard of.
These are circumstances that we've never seen before. We're not talking about 1988 when somebody was hot in 60 games and then disappeared. That's not what we're talking about.
See, this is just like when they gave Crash to Oscar for Best Picture. Sometimes you should just skip it and just be like, nah, not this year. We ain't doing it this year.
Crash was a good picture, man. It's a good story, a good everything. What you talking about? Stop.
All right, let's move on to the next one here. We know that there's not going to be a Rose Parade on January 1st, but there will be a Rose Bowl game. Take it or shake it.
Shake it.
Shake it.
Oh man, where's Travis gonna go?
I think college football is if it doesn't get started immediately, they're gonna just cancel it to the spring and hope that the NFL work with them. That's what I think.
It doesn't feel like a good sign that if you can't have that parade, and I understand there's probably more people at the parade than the game, but you just can't have one and not the other. And I'm not talking about for tradition's sake. I'm talking just about people for people's gathering sake.
Well, it's different, though. The gathering has nothing – to me, the gathering, you don't have to gather at the Rose Bowl to play the game.
A football game is a gathering. A football game is a gathering.
But you don't need fans –
I'm not talking about fans. I'm just talking about the two teams.
But you can't have a Rose Parade. But you can't have a Rose Parade going down Colorado Ave with no fans watching it on TV. People waving their hair. I mean, you can't be having people waving to their hair.
I agree with you. But is it any more weird than having a football game or a baseball game with no fans? I mean, it's kind of the same thing, isn't it?
No, because we're used to practicing, and we're used to practicing with nobody in there, For all intents and purposes, some of these stadiums are empty anyway because the teams are so damn bad.
Because we're talking about a parade that far more people are watching it on TV than in person. I get what you're saying. It would be super weird, but I'm looking at this Dodger game from last night, this inner squad. There's nobody in there, and that's pretty damn weird too.
Well, it looks weird because they both wear Dodger uniforms, but if you stick an opponent's uniform on one of the sides, you wouldn't feel that way. You just would. If you all of a sudden – that was the Angels.
It's the stadium. It's not that the Dodgers versus Dodgers is weird, but seeing, because Dodger Stadium's usually so full to begin with, seeing nobody there is really.
I'm telling
striking.
You, Travis, if you saw an opponent and not just the Dodgers, you wouldn't feel that way. Because think about how many games you watch with empty stadiums.
You've not at Dodger Stadium.
No, maybe not at Dodger Stadium, but you've watched the Cincinnati Reds play. The Tampa Bay Devil Rays in the stadium was empty. It was like five people in the stands. I mean, like you've seen it before.
Speaking of people in the stands, 20,000 people were in Bristol, Tennessee, watching a NASCAR race yesterday. We're going to start to see sporadic crowds at all major sporting events soon. Take it or shake it.
Shake it.
Oh, shake it.
Oh, no.
You're not going to see it because it depends on, like here in Los Angeles, Mayor Garcetti said months ago that this wasn't people wouldn't be in the stands until 2021 at the earliest. So I don't necessarily see where you're going to start to see it all over different cities throughout the United States, man. You're not going to see it in certain places because of the virus that it continues to keep climbing. Like you're not going to see it in New York.
You're not going to 20,000 people.
That's a lot.
Just seeing that was like, whoa,
that's a lot.
It's funny how quickly your perception changes that all of a sudden 20,000 people, which usually would be a fraction, look like a crowd because we just haven't seen it in 4 months.
Wait, where did you say they had it at, the NASCAR?
In Tennessee, Bristol, Tennessee.
I mean, come on, see? I mean.
No.
But see, come on. No, I'm just saying, see? They gonna just do it the way they want to do it, cause that's just
careful.
What they do.
You're gonna be heard in Tennessee soon. Be careful.
That's right.
I'm not worried about that. I understand that. I'm just
let me slide
the truth.
One more in here.
One thing that
one
I'm going to do on the new show, August 17th, is going to be the truth.
Rudy Gobert.
About time you started.
Rudy Gobert says that the snitch line inside the NBA bubble is petty. Rudy Gobert specifically needs to stop talking. Take it or shake it.
Shake it.
Ooh, you shot the
shake it.
Yeah, I mean, I understand he did what he did and all that. But at the end of the day, it is petty. If it's really being used for what it was set up for, that's kind of petty.
I understand where you're coming from, Key, but let somebody else say that. Because you shut down the sports world, dog. So you need to stay in the corner. And just you know, take a break for a minute. Come back next season with some thoughts and opinions and post those. But let this season just play out because your test result literally shut down the entire sports world.
All right, speaking of the snitch line, somebody dropped a dime on Dwight Howard. We'll tell you what his infraction was. That's coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.